First of all, before we get started on Arizona, just on behalf of you know, the team and you know, personally, congratulate Troy on his selection into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Certainly a great tribute to a player that really deserves the recognition. You know, I had the great pleasure and honor, really, of coaching him, and he was here in 96, my first year here, when I was coaching the defensive backs. Worked against him every day in practice as a, you know, as a secondary coach, but then as a head coach, just having him on the team and the role, important role that he had, both as a player, captain, veteran player, and ultimately a player that played in all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams, very well in some very big games. You know, it meant a lot to me, meant a lot to this football team and the organization, and congratulations to Troy and his family. Great weekend and well deserved. Also in the past Patriots category, on behalf of the team, players, myself, I want to pass along our best wishes to Chuck Fairbanks. Chuck's, I think, headed into some surgery today, and just want to pass along our best wishes to Chuck, his family, his guys. Chuck's been a good friend for a long time, and he's meant a lot to this organization, really. At the time he came here, was you know, did a great job in turning the Patriots around, making them into one of the top teams in the AFC. And also some of the things that he brought to the Patriots and the league in the 80s, 70s, and 70s rather, were things that, you know, stood the test of time and have been a big principle of this league for many, many years, and the disciples and the people that were with him, such as the 3-4 defense, the way he organized the draft, personnel meetings, things like that, and some of the great coaches that were here under Chuck. So with that, moving to Arizona, it's compared to last week, seems like a short week for us. I know it's not a short week, but it kind of seems that way. We had so much time to get ready for Tennessee, and now we're on a regular schedule. It just seems like things are compressed a little bit. So part of our preparation is getting used to the shorter period, acclimating ourselves to a normal regular season week, which this is our first one. But I think the players are trying to work hard to prepare for a team that's obviously very good. They're good in all three phases of the game, and but it's also a team we don't know very well, that we haven't played recently, have a lot of new faces since we've played them last time. So our preparation has really been challenged this week by the newness, the players, the scheme, how good they are, and how good of a job they do in all three phases of the game, how much we have to get ready for. So kind of wind it up today on the field and then tie up some things tomorrow. But it's been a good week, but it's a tough week because they're a tough team and they're tough to prepare for.
Sorry to go so long there.
Yeah. Where did the friendship with Chuck Fairbanks begin?
You know, through my relationship with Ernie. Ernie, you know, started working for him in 75, the year I went to the Colts, and then kind of met Chuck through Ernie, and of course, you know, people like you know, Hank Bull and Fritz Schirmer and all the coaches that were here, Larry Weaver, Polonchek, all those guys who, you know, eventually either I knew or had gotten to know through some type of connection, family or otherwise. And then when Chuck went to Colorado, actually that was the year I was in Denver, so, you know.
Remember about his Patriots teams, if anything? I mean, you were young coach at that time, right?
Well, they were in our when I was at the Colts, they were in our division. We played them twice. They were, you know, he brought a good combination of some college principles, like the 3-4 defense, a little bit of option, you know, things like that, and two, you know, a pro style game. But then the work that they did in personnel and the drafts that he had here, and the players that he drafted in the first couple rounds, you know, during his time, he brought in a team that was very, I would say, well stocked personnel wise, that they were, you know, amongst the most talented teams in the league, during that period of time, you know, through his drafting and personnel acquisitions and so forth. So, you know, I watched what he did carefully, how he built the team, and, you know, from afar, but, you know, try to take notice of it and maybe got a little closer inside look of it from, you know, talking to Ernie and some of the things that he, you know, told me about the way they did things and so forth. So it was very, very enlightening. Definitely had an impact on my career early in terms of, you know, learning and, you know, watching Chuck install a 3-4 defense and, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, he did a lot.
Spikes missed obviously a big chunk of the regular season last year, but he had a lot of tackles in the postseason. What can a healthy Brandon Spikes bring for this defense this year?
Well, Brandon's a good player, and he's played productively for us. It's just some of the things that you mentioned. So, it's good. It's good to have him out there. He missed a little bit of time early at the beginning of training camp, but he came back and had a good preseason. Finished up with a good camp. Seemed, you know, like he's getting off to a good start here in the regular season. So it's great to have him.
He was one of those guys that fell into the, you know, he didn't have his first true off season last year because of the lockout. Have you seen him take up a big step forward now at the beginning of his third year?
Well, sure. I think training camp helps all players. It helps their fundamentals. Helps them learn their not necessarily learn, but relearn or reapply. Their fundamentals, their reads, their reactions, and their individual techniques, whether it's man coverage, taking on blockers, tackling, all those kind of things, you know, and certainly playing all the plays that good defenders need to see, screen passes, draws, reverses, counter plays, bootlegs, misdirection plays like that. You know, getting those reps on them in training camp and preseason games is important. And as well as in the spring, but you know, just getting a good background on all that stuff, seeing it, recognizing it, where you know, you don't get fooled by it. I mean, that's all part of practice and preseason and off season training. Important for the defensive players.
Dan Connolly coming along.
Day to day. But you know, whatever his status is, we'll list it on the injury report after practice day. Seems like he's getting better.
We've seen how versatile the offensive line has had to be this early already with guys in and out. Do we expect we'll see some more of that this week?
I don't know. I mean, we'll do whatever we feel like is best for our team to try to beat Arizona. That I can promise you that, whatever that is.
Arizona, what do you see from Sherman, the fullback, a local kid who actually grew up in Mass, at UConn? What type of player?
Done a solid job for him. Has a good role in the kicking game and a good role offensively. More of a blocker than a ball carrier, but is also involved in some of the third down offense where he's in pass protection and as a receiver catches the ball well. Tough kid and has been productive for him in the kicking game.
Arizona a little bit. We're trying to sort of get familiar with them a little bit as well. Darryl Washington is the guy that everything I looked at last week, it seemed like he shows up in a lot of different ways. Is he, I don't know, I don't want to call him underrated. Obviously, he's a very good player, but not really a common name around the NFL. Have you seen him show up and do a lot of different things for them?
Yeah, absolutely. He's fast. He covers a lot of ground. He makes plays sideline to sideline. He's a big guy, athletic guy. Of course, they blitz him a lot. I mean, they blitz all their linebackers, but you have to deal with him in a lot of different ways. The front is that he plays behind is very good, which that's a problem. Dan Williams is a problem on the nose, and of course Dockett and Campbell are big problems at end or tackle if they play nickel. I mean, whatever front they happen to be in. But I think the combination of all those players they complement each other. So if you know, if you're really worried about Dockett and Williams and Campbell and you know that. That frees a lot of things up for Lennon and Washington to run and make plays. And if you're too anxious to get up and block them and you go a little light on the down guys, Dockett and Williams, then that you single them up, then that's a problem. So they have a very good group, and they're all productive. But Washington is you know, He's fast. He covers a lot of ground. They count on that because they rush their outside linebackers a lot, you know, whether you call them defensive ends or outside linebackers, depending on what front they're in. But they're rushing a lot of the time. So that means that the inside guys have to be able to run and cover ground and, you know, make up some of that space out there, which both Lennon and Washington and Stuart Bradley, for that matter, you know, all do a good job of.
How has Nate Ebner handled sort of the mental aspect of making the jump from college to the NFL in terms of the special teams, you know, aspect of things?
I think the special teams of it, power of it's been pretty good. That's what he did. That was his experience, and that, I mean, I think that's really where he was has had the most experience, has had a lot of plays, was good in college, and he's done a good job for us there. Defensively, that's been a little bit of a different story. I mean, yeah, a bigger jump, more of a learning curve, less experience. But he's handled that well, too. But I'd say special teams was more carryover from what he did in college to what we're asking him to do to what he's doing. Not that he doesn't have a lot to learn there. Every rookie does. But it's, I'd say, more carryover there.
What does he have going for him? I mean, it looks like he's got good size. He runs well. I mean, what are his
That's a good place to start.
Yeah,
I would say that. I'd say he does have good size. He runs well. He's got some quickness. He can tackle. He's a tough kid. And instinctively, he kind of has a nose for the ball, you know, leverage and how to play off blockers and read a quarterback. And it's not perfect, but he's got a little bit of a knack for that. You know, he sees more than just the one guy he's looking at. He sees other things around him and has a way of putting it together.
You could see from scouting him because he didn't
no,
play?
No, because he didn't play defense. No, you couldn't see it. No. Just like you couldn't see it with Steve Neal. I mean, you know, it's hard to see instincts on a wrestling mat, you know. So, no, you don't know how those things are going to turn out, but I would say Nate has definitely better than average overall just instinctiveness and a feel for the game that I don't want to say you can't coach, but some guys have more of it than others, and I would say he, at this point, early in a running, looks like he has a, you know, pretty decent instinctive nature for the game.
Well, it's looking like Kevin Cobb's going to get the start for sure on Sunday, or likely. Does that make life easier, the planning easier now than, say, it was at the beginning of the week when maybe you had to plan for both?
Well, we always have to be prepared for any player that's active on the roster. It could change in a play, just like it did last week. It changed in one play, so from one guy to another. So we have to be ready for everybody. But Cobb's a good quarterback. He's active. He's had some good production in the league. I mean, we just saw what happened last week. You know, he went in and took Arizona on the game-winning drive after he hadn't played the whole game. So we have a lot of respect for him and all their other players, too.
Ebner stuff, any similarity to like Slater when you guys drafted him? Because maybe not necessarily like Slater played, I guess, a little more offensively at UCLA. But
he also played a little bit of safety, I think it was like sophomore year or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's a little different there. Just the idea of the role.
Similar but different, yeah. It's special teams first to offense or defense, maybe second, and not knowing exactly how that's going to turn out, whereas other players you see offense or defense first, but to special teams with less experience because in college they were, you know, not used in that role, but that now becomes a primary role for them or a big role for them at this level. So it's the same kind of projection in reverse. There's usually more of the other ones. You see them on defense, you don't see them a lot in a kicking game, as opposed to you see them a lot in a kicking game, and then where do they project on offense and defense?
Just to follow up on that, I mean, like the Neals, when those things unfold, is it sort of, I mean, I don't want to say fun, but is that sort of part of, is there a reward for you and the staff for going through the process and seeing some positive results from that?
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, I would say that's part of the process. It's similar but different to Edelman, never played receiver, never returned punts, Castle, you know, threw 30 passes in his career, or whatever it was. I mean, you could look at him, you know, watch him work out as a quarterback, just like you could watch Steve Neal work out as a lineman, but there's no film of it. You know, you can't ever watch him really play. So, yeah, there are some unknowns when you do that. Take a player and project him to a position that he hasn't played. You have a reason for doing it. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong, or sometimes, for whatever reason, it just doesn't work out. You just can't make the transition. Sometimes that's, you just can't give him an opportunity to do it for whatever reason. Sometimes the player just, that's, he's just not able to do that. And sometimes they are. But it's, let's say, pretty unscientific. You take the information you have, you do the best you can to analyze it and look at it, but it's far from a sure thing. Which is probably why a lot of times those guys don't. You know, they drop in the draft or free agency or whatever. There's less certainty. Just remember, there's a lot more Hall of Famers from the first round than any other round. So that's the reason why they draft them there. Okay. All right, thanks. We'll see you Sunday.